Good Erev Shabbos. I really miss everybody, each and every one of you. I miss learning with you, working with you. I miss the smiles. I miss being together in yeshiva. I hope, mitzvah Hashem, we will be together soon. This week's parsha, this week's parshios, Tazria Mitzora, discuss several types of tumos. I want to discuss the types of tumah that we find in the beginning of Tazria and then at the end of Mitzora. Beginning of Tazria discusses a mother who gives birth to a child. The tumah that she generates from that birth. That's a very surprising thing, that a mother who gives birth becomes tameh. And she just experienced working in partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creation of human life. It's the most amazing experience she's probably ever had. At that moment, Mistama, she feels closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than anyone could imagine. And yet the Torah says she's tameh. So what is that tumah? So to understand that tumah, I think we need to look at the ultimate tumah, what's known as the avi avos hatumah. The greatest tumah is a mace, a dead body. And the Svarim explain, it's a concept that I've seen Zohar brought down as a source for this, that when a person dies, the neshama leaving the guf, the kedusha leaving, creates a void, creates a vacuum. That hole then attracts tumah into it. When there was kedusha and kedusha leaves, that causes tumah to sweep in and fill in the hole. Now that's what tumah is. Tumah comes when kedusha is no longer there, leaving a place for it. And if that's the pshat of tumah, we could, I think, very well, very easily understand when a mother gives birth, it's really very similar. She has a person inside of her, a baby, a neshama. And when that neshama, that kedusha, exits her body, it also leaves a void within her where there used to be this intense kedusha. Now it leaves a void and the tumah sweeps in and fills up the gap. That's interesting when you're learning the psukim in the first aliyah. You'll see that when a mother gives birth to a girl, it creates double the amount of tumah than the tumah that's created when a mother gives birth to a boy. When she gives birth to a girl, she's tameh for 14 days and waits 66 days after that. For a boy, it's only 7 days and 33 days after that. You might be tempted to think that this is something you use in your next argument with your little sister. Look, girls make more tumah than boys do, ha ha. But based on the explanation we just gave of what tumah is, I think that couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, we see from here, the natural kedusha of a girl is greater than a boy. Because what is tumah? It's when kedusha leaves. Well, apparently, if there's more tumah after a girl is born, it's because there was more kedusha there. The kedusha left, the greater kedusha of a girl leaves, and it creates a greater void, which brings in more tumah. I think this is an indication of the fact, and we could find this in Chazal as well, that girls are naturally more kadosh, more attuned to ruchnias, more easily connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I suspect this relates to the fact that women are generally considered to be more emotionally attuned than men. And that equips them to be better prepared to achieve Yerushimayim, Avas Hashem, emotions that are the ultimate goal of a Yid. This is a very important perspective to have, especially once you're married, but it's definitely not too early to start to realize this, that this is how we view Jewish women as people of incredible kedusha, who definitely deserve absolute respect and admiration. I'm sure one day you'll have many other reasons to respect and admire and love your wife, but even without all those reasons, the way a Jew views a Jewish woman is with the greatest respect and admiration and awe for the kedusha that she has. This is certainly a time of Matan Torah, was a very new perspective to have this level of recognition and respect for women. But even now, I think in the Welt, this is a pretty unique perspective to have, to realize this. And it's a very important thing. It's never too early, I think, to start realizing this so you're ready one day with your own wife, Mitzvah Hashem. So we understand now, we understand what the Tumah of a mace is, and we understand what the Tumah of a woman, a mother who just gave birth is. Let's jump now to the end of Parshas Metsora, where a different Tumah is discussed. The Tumah that is created when a person doesn't give birth, but when a man or a lady, I'm not going to go into the exact biology of it, and this is the part of the Shmooze you're not going to share at the Shabbos table, but when a person has something leave from their body that had the potential to create a baby, to create a human life, a man or a woman, when that happens, tumah is created. That's also a surprising thing. If tumah is created when kedusha leaves somewhere, is that kedusha? That's not kedusha. They're things that could create a human life, but they're not right now human life. I think here again is an amazing lesson that this tumah always should remind us of. To a yid, loss of kedusha is a loss, but even loss of potential kedusha is a loss. The loss of potential, the missing out on an opportunity to acquire kedusha, to create kedusha, that itself is a loss. And that itself creates a void. Missing out on one's potential, one's opportunity to grow, that itself creates tumah. Tumah then sweeps in when we aren't taking advantage of opportunities to grow. It's not that we just aren't growing. We actually are creating a void, opening the door to tumah. And this also, I think, is such an important lesson to remember. And this tumah reminds us of it. It's a lesson to remind us that potential for kedusha, something that we are machshir very much and always need to keep an eye on. That when we have an opportunity to grow, we have an opportunity to build, to generate more kedusha, we need to take advantage to seize those opportunities. Otherwise, we are opening the door to not good things taking their place. I think here in the midst of our coronacation, there are different ways we could look at it. And to look at a Chas V'Shalom as a vacation and a time to not maximize our growth and take advantage of the many, many opportunities, unique opportunities, I really think unique opportunities to grow during this time would be a terrible mistake to make. For example, when it comes to our davening, I really think, we're missing out on davening with a minyan, being with our chaverim, being mechazik each other, but there's a unique opportunity here when we're at home and alone, able to daven on our own, not because of the pressure of our rebbeim, of our peer pressure of our friends, just daven by ourselves. No one's looking, no one's judging, only it's you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Daven at the pace you want, no one's hurrying you, no one's slowing you down. It's a really amazing opportunity. You're davening. You could work on your davening in a way that could be so powerful, so meaningful this time. I wanted to share with you a practical bit of advice when it comes to davening. Hopefully you already have this, but if not, I think this is really important advice. To have a makom kavua in your house where you daven. Find somewhere where you know it's l the least likely, I know it could be difficult, but the least likely to be disturbed. Somewhere nice, somewhere kavodik, somewhere where you're likely to be able to have kavana. And hopefully it's somewhere where it's just you by yourself and you could talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu in a way, feeling in a way that you don't usually feel necessarily when you're surrounded by other people. There's one of the pshatim in the Rishon, and we don't pass them like this pshat, but it's a good point. One of the pshatim in the Rishonim of what it means to have a makom kavua is specifically that you should have a makom kavua when you're not with the minyan, when you're at home, because at home it's hard to have kavana. There's so many things going on around, there's so many distractions, disturbances. So you dafk at home, that's when you're supposed to have a makom kavua. We hold that even in shul you should have makom kavua, but it's a very important point. It could be very difficult to daven at home, but if we find a place and a way to just zone out everything around us and just talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just by ourselves, it could be an amazing time of growth in our davening. I encourage everyone to try to make sure they have a set spot where people know they shouldn't be bothered during davening. They're alone. They're somewhere, preferably, you know, in your bedroom. And if there's a mess, it should be somewhere nice, kavadik. If your bedroom's the only place to get away from all the noise, then make sure before you daven that you make the room nice. Make sure your floor is clean. Have a nice place where you could sit, stand, daven, talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I think that's an opportunity we do not want to miss out on. However much longer this goes on for, we shouldn't say, well, we don't have minyan, so davening isn't able to matter that much anyways. It could matter more than ever. I wanted to, in an unrelated point, I just wanted to share with you something that I think before we left, I started to talk to you about this. And I just want to make sure, be mechanzik the inyan, that when we are in the middle of this coronavirus and everyone's in isolation, stay-at-home orders, you have to realize that the world around us is doing something very admirable. And they are going, be moser nefesh, giving up on money and giving up on entertainment opportunities, and they're staying home in order to protect, primarily to protect elderly and more vulnerable individuals. And the Chil Hashem that we could chas v'shalom make if we are not careful to also fully participate in those efforts to protect people who need protecting could be horrendous. And I beg of each and every one of you to please be very careful to not do anything that looks like we are not adhering to the strict guidelines that are being laid out by doctors, the government, the Rabbanim. The Chil Hashem Chas V'Shalom could be absolutely gefährlich, just astronomical. We have to be very careful to strictly adhere to all the guidelines that we are being told to follow. All right, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll have a beautiful Shabbos. Take advantage of your davening. Make it a davening that counts. Have a wonderful Shabbos.